Exodus chapter 20. Exodus 20, the portion in God's Word where we have God's law, the Ten Commandments. I want to read just again one verse here. It is the fifth commandment, verse 12. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Let's just pause for a moment and ask for God's help now as we come to the preaching of his truth. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege that is ours to once again gather around your word. We pray, O God, thou wouldst come this day and thou wouldst speak to every heart. We ask, Lord, that you will come upon us by thy Spirit and give to us hearts that are attentive and hearts that are ready to receive your word. We think, O Lord, even of how in the word of God we read of many people hearing the preaching of Christ, and yet they rejected the preaching of the greatest preacher ever, the preaching of Christ himself. We pray, O God, that even thou wouldst give to us hearts that are attentive and receptive and submissive to thy word. Lord, we do not merely want to be hearers of the word. We want to be doers of thy word. Come upon us by thy Spirit. Enable us to respond as we ought to respond to thy truth. Lord, give us help in the preaching of thy word. We confess our need of thy help. We pray, O God, you'll give help even to this preacher. Lord, be gracious unto us. Forgive us for our sins. Cleanse us in thy precious blood. Make us a vessel unto honor this day. And as your word is preached, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Last Lord's Day, as we turn to God's word, we considered the requirement of the fifth commandment. And we noted that the fifth precept in God's holy law requires that we show honor where honor is due. And that is what the requirement of the fifth commandment is, that we show honor where honor is due. The reason why we are to show honor is because God, in his perfect wisdom, has established in this world the powers that be. He has established authority and he has established power. We read earlier that great chapter in Romans 13, which commences with the words, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." Now notice what Paul says in these words. He declares, firstly, what we are all to do. Let every soul, every person, be subject unto the higher powers. And the word power here means authority. And so Paul is saying, where there is higher authority in this world, we are to be subject to it. We are to submit to it. We are to comply with it. And this is what Paul is saying. Let every soul, every individual, every person be subject to the higher authority. Now why does Paul say this? Why are we to be subject unto higher power? Or as the fifth commandment sets it forth, why are we to show honor to those in positions of authority? But Paul gives us the answer in Romans 13. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers for or because there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Do you see what the Apostle Paul is saying here? We are to be subject unto higher powers or authority because there is no authority in this world. There is no higher power amongst men that has not been established by God. The governing powers and the positions of authority that operate in this world are all ordained of God. God has brought these things into being. God has established these things. All the powers that be, they're all ordained of God. This is the order that God himself has put into creation from the very beginning of time. And so this is why we are to be subject unto the higher powers, because they are established of God. In a remarkable way, this is actually drawn to our attention as the Lord Jesus stood before Pontius Pilate, as he has been judged by Pontius Pilate. After Christ had been scourged and beaten by Pilate's soldiers, we are told in John 19, Jesus gave him no answer. And so as Pilate came to question the Lord Jesus, Jesus did not respond. He gave him no answer. There was a deafening silence in the judgment hall that day. Pilate then, in an effort to try and force Christ to answer his questions, said to the Savior, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and I have power to release thee. Here we have the words of a proud and pompous political leader. Pilate, like many political leaders today, saw himself as a great authority. He thought he had power and he had gained this for himself. He saw himself as a man in a very powerful position. And therefore he speaks to Christ and he says, listen, I have power to release you, but I've also power to crucify you. And he was speaking to Christ about his powerful position. I'm this powerful man. I am the political leader. I am the governor. You see, he was reminding Christ about his position. But listen to what the Lord Jesus said to Pilate. Jesus answered, thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Now do you see what the Lord Jesus said to Pilate? The power, the authority, the position you have, is that which God has established. Therefore you would have no power, you would have no authority, if God had not ordained the powers that be. The Lord Jesus was informing him he could have no power or authority except God had given it to him. So it is with all who hold positions of authority and power. The position they have, the power they hold, is because God in his wisdom, and yes, God in his grace, has given it to them. And that is why the powers that be, which are ordained of God, are to rule in righteousness. That is why they are to rule in righteousness, because God has ordained them for this very purpose. They are to rule in righteousness because God has established these roles. He has established these positions. That men in authority, men in positions of honor, might oppose that which is evil and promote that which is righteous. And you see, this is the responsibility of everyone who holds a position of authority and power. And let's start at the very beginning. Think of that position of power within the home. Parents. It is their responsibility to resist evil and to oppose that which is wicked in the home and to promote righteousness. So it is within the church. Those who hold office within the church. It's their responsibility to withstand that which is evil and wicked and continue to promote righteousness. And even as we come to the government and the powers that be in the nation. So it is their responsibility to oppose that which is evil and promote that which is good. This then is why the fifth commandment teaches us we are to show honor to those who hold positions of authority. Because God himself has established these positions. He has ordained these powers for our good, for the well-being and peace of mankind in society. Now last Lord's Day, as we looked at what is required in the fifth commandment, we considered what it means to show honour. What it means to show honour. And we thought on how this honour spoken of in the fifth commandment involves respect, it involves obedience, it involves humility, and it involves care. And we noted these things last week. However, today as we come to look at this commandment once again, I want us to consider two other things. Last week we considered the requirement of the fifth commandment. But today I want us to consider the reach of the fifth commandment. And this is our big point today, the reach of the fifth commandment. And then I want us to finally look at the reward of the fifth commandment. Firstly then, today we're coming to think upon the reach of the fifth commandment. Now what I mean as we speak about the reach of the fifth commandment is, who are we to show honour to? Who exactly are we to show honour to? We have considered what it means to show honour. What is involved in keeping this commandment involves respect, obedience, humility and care. But now we must consider who we are to show this honour to. Who in this world are we to honour in this way? Again, this is something which is really important in regard to understanding what God is saying here. This is actually vital in regard to observing this commandment. Indeed, I believe it would be correct to say that this commandment is often broken because of a failure to understand its scope and its reach. The fifth commandment is frequently violated simply due to an ignorance in regard to who God would have us to honour in this world. Now I should say, before we come to consider who we are to honour, as it is brought before us in the fifth commandment, that in this life we should show honour in a certain sense to all men. In this life, we should show honour in a certain sense to all men. Turn with me for a moment to 1 Peter 2, verse 17. Notice what Peter says here, 1 Peter 2, verse 17. Again, he's teaching God's people how they are to live. And he says this in 1 Peter 2, verse 17. Honour all men. And the word honour there is esteem all men. If you've got a margin, you will see that it reads esteem or honour all men. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honour the king. Now notice in this verse of scripture, Peter speaks of honour twice. He speaks of honour twice. He says, first of all, that we are to honour all men. And the thought is we are to honour the person. We are to show honour and respect to all people. No matter a person's position in life, no matter their abilities or their lack of abilities, no matter whether they are rich or poor, no matter if they're a Christian or not. We are to treat all men with dignity, and we are to treat all men with decency. And that is the thought here. Honour or esteem all men. Be respectful, be kind, be gentle, be mannerly. And this is what Peter's writing to God's people. We are to honour all men in regard to their person, as human beings, as individuals that God has created. We are to be kind and gentle and decent and respectful to all men. But then, at the end of this verse, Peter goes on to say, honour the king. Honour the king. Now, this is not speaking about honouring a person for who they are as a person. Rather, it is speaking about showing honour to them because of their position. Showing honour to them because of the position they hold. Showing them honour because of the role they have in life. And of course, the king is speaking about the civil authority. We're to show honour to those who hold certain positions. And so, we see in two ways we are to show honour in this world. We're to show honour to all people in a personal capacity. But we are to show honour to those who hold particular positions and offices and positions of authority. As we then come to the fifth commandment, it is this second thought of honour that Peter refers to here, which is in view. The fifth commandment teaches us we are to show honour to those who hold certain positions. Notice again what it says in our text today in verse 12 of Exodus 20. Honour thy father and thy mother. And notice what the Lord is speaking about here. He's speaking about the possession. The possession of the father and the mother. And of course, this is the possession of parents. Yet the principle that is established in the fifth commandment reaches much further than just parents. Oh, it reaches way beyond this of merely parents. In fact, we could say the reach of the fifth commandment is one which extends to every part of society. You see, the word father in the fifth commandment just does not mean father in the sense of being a father of children. It's a far broader meaning to it. It also means one who is head, one who is chief, one who is ruler, or one who is leader. This is the idea behind the word father here. And it teaches us that the fifth commandment extends far beyond our biological or adoptive parents. It stands way beyond that. Its reach is very broad. How far then does the fifth commandment reach? Who are we to honour? As God says to us here, honour thy father and thy mother. Well, as we examine God's word, we learn that we are to show honour to five different groups of people. Five different groups of people. The word of God speaks of that we are to show honour to. And I want us to think upon these five different groups of people. Firstly, we are to honour our parents. We are to honour our parents. This, of course, is what the fifth commandment makes abundantly clear. And this is also something which is confirmed in many other passages of scripture. Ephesians 6, 1 and 2 declares, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother. Colossians 3 and 20 says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And so God, on numerous occasions, speaks of how children are to obey and honor their parents. In 2 Timothy 3 and 2, we learn that one of the sad consequences of a wicked and apostate society is children that are disobedient to parents. Children that are disobedient to parents is one of the marks and one of the characteristics of an apostate society. And let us reflect upon our own society today. And we see young people, we see children, and they're being brought up with no regard or no respect for authority. This is a mark of apostasy. Indeed, as Paul lists the terrible sin that will mark the end times, he puts disobedient to parents alongside such wicked sins as blasphemy, idolatry, pride, treachery, and immoral wickedness. Disobedient to parents is put in the same category. It's put side by side these, what we would call infamous sins. And so children are to honour their parents. It is a great sin when children, whether young or old, behave in a dishonourable way to either their father or their mother. Let us never forget that. This is a great sin in the eyes of God. When we behave in a dishonourable way to our parents, our grandparents. The Lord Jesus really emphasized this to the people of Israel in a most solemn manner. In Leviticus 20, listen to these words in Leviticus 20, 7 to 9. The Lord says, sanctify yourselves therefore and be ye holy, for I, the Lord your God, for I am the Lord your God, and ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctifieth you. And so the Lord is saying to Israel, listen, I am the holy God of heaven, therefore you shall be holy. He's establishing here that they need to be holy because he is holy. And then God goes on to say, for everyone that curseth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. He hath cursed his father or his mother. His blood shall be upon him. And you see how the Lord was revealing to Israel what a wicked sin it is. Children dishonor their parents. Well, this is a grievous sin. A most heinous sin in the sight of a holy God. Today I'm not going to go into the details of how children should honour their parents. That is what we looked at last time as we considered the word honour. But just to emphasise once more, this honour involves respect. Children are to respect their parents. It involves obedience. Children are to obey their parents. It involves humility. Children are to show humility to their parents. It involves care. They are to do that which is caring and helpful. And so this is the responsibility of children. As we think of the duty of honouring our parents, Christ is the great example in how we are to honour our parents. In childhood, the Lord Jesus honoured his parents. And I refer to Joseph as the Lord Jesus' parent, not because he was father in a physical sense to the Lord Jesus, but he was father to the Lord Jesus in a practical sense. He was there in the home. He provided in a practical sense, in a domestic sense. And so therefore he was Christ's parent in that sense. However, this is what Luke 2:51 tells us. And he, that is the Lord Jesus, went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. That is, he was subject to Mary and Joseph. Here we see the Lord Jesus Christ as a child, as a young person, being subject, complying, being obedient and honouring his parents. And remember, Christ all of this time was the Son of God and the Creator of all things. Often children think, well, you know, that they're above their parents and they know more than their parents. And this is how often young people and children think. Well, here was Christ. And oh, he was above his parents in every sense. In every sense. And yet as a child, he was still subject to them. Subject to them. But Christ not only honored his parents in his childhood, he also honored Mary later on in life when he's a fully grown man. If you turn to John's Gospel just for a moment, John chapter 19, notice what it says here in John 19, in verse 25. Here we have the Lord Jesus at the cross. And of course, he's a man here of 33 years of age. At this stage, his father, his earthly father in that sense, is Joseph, would have passed away already. Notice what it says here in John 19, verse 25. There stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, and that disciple was John, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. Do you see what was taking place here? Christ in his dying hour, he was being crucified here. He was dying upon the cross. He was suffering all of the agony and torture of the cross. Yet, even though he was going through all of this anguish and pain, what does he do? He honors his mother by saying to John, This is thy mother. And saying to his mother, John is your son. What was he doing? He was saying, listen, John's going to look after you. John's going to care for you. I am going. I am departing. I'm going to back to my father which is in heaven. But he was making sure that his mother was cared for here, you see. Even in his dying hour, he still honored Mary in a most wonderful way. And this is how we are to honor our parents in later life. Never forget this. We have a duty to honor our parents and grandparents in later life. This is our responsibility. This is our duty. This is what we are to do as we honor them in regard to the fifth commandment. And so we learn in the fifth commandment we are to honor our parents. But then moving on here, we also learn in God's word we are to honor our pastors. We are to honor our pastors. Now, as I use the word pastors, I'm referring to those God has placed in leadership within his church. God, again, in his word, makes it abundantly clear we are to show honor to those who are in possessions of spiritual leadership. And this is what the word of God brings before us many times. 1 Timothy 5:17 says, Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Listen also to Paul's words to God's people in Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians 5:12-13, he says, And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Notice here, Paul says to God's believing people, You are to esteem your pastors very highly in love. And then he says why they were to do this. Because they were great men. Because they were far better than others. Because of the remarkable talents and gifts and abilities. No, Paul doesn't say that. He doesn't say that at all. Paul says esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. For their work's sake. What is the work of a pastor? What is the labor of someone who holds the office of an elder? 1 Peter 5:2 tells us, It is to feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. In other words, it is to watch and care for the souls of men and women. This is the job of a pastor or an elder. This is why you are to show honor to those that pastor. Because of the vital work that they do. This spiritual work. This work of watching for souls. This work of admonishing God's people in regard to the things of God. This work of warning sinners of the wrath that is to come. This is why you're not to despise a faithful preacher of the gospel and to say, listen, I have no regard for his words because of the work that he does. And you see, if you despise that work, you despise your own soul. And you could bring upon your head eternal judgment. Let me just say, as your pastor, the greatest honor you could bestow upon me, and I say this most honestly and truthfully today before God, the greatest honor that you could bestow upon me, the greatest joy that you could give me, is that you love and obey my master. It is showing real honor. Very often people get caught up in different things in regard to the minister, what you should call the minister. In this age of change when it comes to many things, people have different opinions, what you call the pastor and how you refer to him and all this. And really, to be quite honest, folks, I'm not interested. But the thing that I'm concerned about is this, that you love and obey my master. That you walk in his ways. Because that is what will give me the greatest joy and delight. That is what it is to honor the ministry of the word. This was exactly what John the Baptist told his people. Turn over to John's Gospel, chapter 3. Notice what John said as he spoke to his congregation, his people. Notice what it says here in John 3, verse 26. John 3, 26. And they came unto John, that is, his disciples came unto John, and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. And what were they saying? They were saying, listen, John, that one that you baptized in Jordan, everybody in your congregation's leaving and they're going to him. They're gathering around him. They're more interested in him than they are in you now. And they were all concerned here, you see. They were all worried about John. Notice the answer, verse 27. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. This is the pastor. He can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. In many ways, again, this is the pastor. I'm not your savior. I'm not the one that you need. I'm not the one that's vital to you, but my master is. Verse 24, or 29. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But notice these words. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. I must increase, but he must increase, but I must decrease. You think of what John the Baptist is saying here. He is filled with joy. He is filled with great delight. He's only the friend of the bridegroom. And as the bride flees to the bridegroom, as they flock around him, oh, this is what gives John the greatest delight and joy. This was his ministry being honored. This was his preaching being fulfilled. Oh, he was so glad. His ministry was successful. Why? Because they all went to Christ. And they left him. They left him. The great preacher and Puritan Thomas Watson said, thriving people are a minister's crown. When there is a metamorphosis, a change wrought, when people come to the word proud, but go away humble. When they come earthly, but go away heavenly. When they come as Naaman to Jordan, leprous, but they go away healed, then the ministry is honored. Oh, it is honored. As people respond to the word, and as they come to love and obey the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, as the under shepherd directs the sheep to him. And so we see in this world, We're not only to honour parents, but we are to honour pastors. Moving on quickly here, we also are to honour rulers. We're to honour rulers. I've already referred to how Peter says we are to honour the king. Paul declares in 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And so we should honour rulers and those that govern us. We should honour them by praying for them and by complying with them. And that's how we are to honour rulers, kings, governments. We're not to make them celebrities, but we are to respectfully honour them, live in submission to them. Perhaps you're thinking today, what happens if evil and wicked people rule over us? And that's a good question, because if we think of our day and generation in which we live, we have got a government that is evil and wicked, and they're at this very moment in time bringing in laws and legislation that is in complete rebellion against God. Should we honour such people? But we should never forget, as the apostles wrote these words to God's people, they were writing in a day when the civil authority were not only corrupt, they were also very cruel. The wicked Nero was ruling the Roman Empire at this particular time in which the apostles wrote. And he took great sport and enjoyment in torturing, killing God's own dear people. In various ways, Nero and his friends butchered Christians, were throwing them to wild animals, crucifying them, roasting them alive in brass ovens. Nero also used those who believed in the Lord Jesus as human torches to light up his garden parties to Christians. And while they were yet alive, he covered them in tar, tied them to stakes in his palace garden, then set them on fire for the amusement of himself and his guests. Such was the ruling authority in the days in which the apostles wrote. These were the times in which they wrote to God's people. And yet they still declared, honour the king. Be subject unto the higher power. You see, this is God's will. This is God's will. Of course, as I mentioned last time, the exception to this is when the civil authority directs us to do evil. Then we must defy. We must say, listen, we'll honour God rather than man. But in the ordinary and legitimate business of state, the Christian should honour those who rule, those who are in authority. And you see, this in itself is a wonderful testimony to the power of the gospel. A wonderful testimony to the power of the gospel. The nations in this world that have known the greatest peace and prosperity are those nations where the gospel has had the greatest effect. The most law-abiding and the most peaceful nations in this world are the nations in Western society where the gospel has really done a work in hearts and lives. And of course, in our foolish world, people talk about white privilege. It's not white privilege. It's gospel privilege. It's because the gospel has taken effect. And it has brought order, it has brought peace, it has brought prosperity to nations. Because there was this respect for God's word and for authority. Christ said in Mark 12:17, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. And this is how we ought to behave as God's people. We are to honour our rulers, our pastors, our parents. We're also to honour our masters. That is, we are to show honour to those who are over us in a working environment. Again, this is something which the apostles remind God's people of. Paul says in Ephesians 6 and 5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Now think of what Paul was saying here. He was saying to God's people, those who are your masters, and perhaps he was even speaking to people that were in slavery. And he was saying, be obedient. Be obedient. Listen to the words of Peter in 1 Peter 2 and 18. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear. And then note these words. Not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. See what Peter's saying. Don't just be respectful. Just don't be obedient to those that are good and gentle. But even those that are harsh and cruel, be obedient. The attitude of this world is very often to be resentful and even antagonistic towards those who would be over us in the workplace. And this is the attitude, and I'm sure you've been in a working environment like that. I know I have. The boss, the manager. Well, we are to treat him with disdain, disrespect. This is the attitude of the world. But this is not the attitude or the behavior the Christian is to adopt. We are to honor, show them respect. And again, we must be so conscious. Christ's testimony is at stake, you see here. This is how we can so often manifest the grace of Christ and show forth the power of the gospel. Even when we're being mistreated, even in a working environment, by responding graciously, we set apart the gospel. We set apart the truth of God's word as that which is mighty and powerful and able to transform lives. And so we are to honor our masters. One other thing here quickly. We are to honor our seniors. Our seniors. This is something which is brought before us right throughout the word of God. The Lord told Israel in Leviticus 19:32, "Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man." And what God is saying, and what God was saying to Israel was this. We are to stand up and show respect to the elderly. This was what God was saying to Israel. Way back there in Leviticus, as he was giving them the laws of the nation. To rise up before the hoary head, or the grey head. And we are to honor the face of old men. 1 Timothy 5:1 declares, "Rebuke not an elder." And that's not speaking about an elder within the church. It's speaking about an elder in the sense of someone who's on in years. "Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father." We'd be to honor older people. Showing respect to older people. And this is God's will. You might say today, well, you know, these are very simple points. These are very elementary. Let me tell you, they're part of Scripture. They're part of Scripture. God wants us to know these things. He's commanded us, this is how we are to live and behave. The honor that is then spoken of in the fifth commandment includes honoring parents, pastors, rulers, masters, and seniors. This is the reach. This is the extent of the fifth commandment. Let us come then to our final point here quickly today. And that is the reward of the fifth commandment. The closing words of the fifth commandment teach us there is a great reward to be gained in keeping this precept. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. I mentioned last week the thought behind the long days which are referred to here is blessed days. Full days. Days of peace and days of prosperity. You see, when we obey this commandment, when we give careful heed to God's speaking voice here, it will bring peace and it will bring harmony into our lives in many ways. It will bring peace and harmony into our lives personally. If you honor those that you should honor, then your life will be a life in which there is peace. But also bring harmony and peace into our homes. Oh, it will. It most certainly will. Again, it will bring peace into the church. If you show honor to the leadership of the church, then the church will dwell in a state of peace and harmony and prosperity. And I've already mentioned how honor is obeying the word, respecting the word that is preached. And of course, it will bring honor into our land. When there is this respect for authority, then it will most certainly bring honor and peace and prosperity into our land. Putting it very simply, when we behave honorably in life towards our fellow men, then we will be blessed with happiness in life. And that is the truth of God's word. Of course, this is contrary to the thinking of this world. This world says we must be exertive, and we must be pushy, and we must fight our way to the top, and we must trample upon everyone to get there. And you're the most important thing in life, and your success and what you have and what you can gain and what you can accumulate, well, that's the all-important thing. Whereas in the first commandment, God sets before us our duty is to show honour. And he says when we do this, then we will know happiness and blessing. I think it's interesting to note that this is the only commandment in God's law that doesn't have a negative. Have you noticed that? This is the only commandment that doesn't have a thou shalt not. It doesn't have a negative. I believe God is saying to us, this is the most positive thing we can do in life. The way to happiness and real blessing is to honor God firstly. And we have considered this in the first four commandments. It's a first duty. We'll never forget that. Never forget that. It's a first duty to honor God. We've noted that in the first four commandments. And then we are to honor our fellow man, which is the fifth commandment. Oh, this is the way to blessing. This is the way to success. This is the way to progress and advance in the things of God. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may belong upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. May God help us to render to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. I trust God will bless his truth to our hearts for his own name's sake. Amen. Amen.